law as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. So, the mayor had mentioned that we made an exception for Dr. Oxman, but in general in the chambers, in order for everybody to feel comfortable, do this if you're happy or this if you're not, with whatever anybody's saying. That way it's not distracting to the people who are up here. And Mayor, before I turn it back over you, thank you very much for this panel.
Thank you.
Unless anybody has questions. We also, I approach this job as a retired registered nurse and as a mom, and so I'd like to ask if there are any parents with small children here who would like to testify early. If there is anybody with small children who would like to come up to take the first slots, and then what we'll do is I'll turn it back to the mayor and we'll do four in support, four opposed and four in support until we're all done. Nobody?
Anyone taking you up on that offer?
I have one here.
Okay, please come on up if you...
Come on
up. I'll translate for her. So.
Okay.
Thank you. And if also if there's somebody who needs to get to pick up a child at school or daycare, that also counts. Thank you.
Buenas tardes.
Good afternoon.
Señor alcalde y miembros del concilio de la ciudad.
Mayor and members of the city council.
Mi nombre es Yolanda Cabrera.
My name is Yolanda Cabrera.
Y resido en el complejo Los Apartamentos de Villa de Claravista.
I live at the apartment complex Villa de Claravista.
Localizado en el 6706 North East Killisburg, Portland, Oregon.
The apartments are located in 6706 North East Killingsworth, Portland, Oregon. 97218.
Soy líder y voluntario del grupo de vecinos en alerta.
I'm a leader and I'm a volunteer with the group Vecinos en Alerta.
En el noroeste de Portland.
In Northeast Portland.
Y soy voluntario en nuestra escuela pública.
And I'm a volunteer in the public schools.
Soy madre de cinco niños.
I'm a mom with five children.
Están aquí arriba.
They're all upstairs.
Hemos sido residentes de Portland por 16 años.
We have been residents of Portland for over 16 years.
Mi esposo Felipe ha trabajado por los últimos 7 años en el mismo lugar.
My husband Felipe has been working at the same place for the last 7 years.
En una fábrica de playeras.
There is a factory that they make t-shirts.
De camisetas. En estos 7 años mi esposo nunca ha recibido pagos de los días de enfermedad.
In those 7 years my husband never received a paid sick day.
Muchas veces mi esposo ha tenido que ir a trabajar enfermo.
Many times my husband had gone to work sick.
Algunas veces con fiebre.
So many times with a fever.
Gripe o dolor de los pies y la espalda.
Pain in his back, colds, and also in his feet.
Algunas veces yo me encuentro enferma.
And sometimes when I'm sick.
Y mi esposo no puede quedarse en la casa.
And when my husband cannot stay at home.
Para ayudarme con los niños.
To help me with the children.
Por temor a perder su trabajo.
Because he's afraid that he's going to lose his job.
No, no, Nosotros tenemos solamente un vehículo.
We only have one vehicle.
Y cuando mis hijos están enfermos.
And when my children are sick.
Felipe puede quedar... No puede quedarse a la casa para llevarnos al doctor.
And Felipe cannot stay at home to take them to the doctor.
Y por miedo a perder su trabajo.
And because he's afraid of losing his job.
Para nosotros perder un día de trabajo.
For us, losing a day work.
Significa un día de no recibir pagos.
Means a day that we don't receive any income.
Y nos afecta totalmente el presupuesto familiar.
And impacts our family budget.
Nosotros somos familias, trabajadores.
We are hard-working families.
Que le damos mucho a la ciudad.
That we give a lot to the city.
Y a la comunidad.
And to the community.
Y me da mucha tristeza.
And I feel very sad.
Ver que las familias, vecinos y amigos.
Look at that, my neighbors
no
and the friends.
No pueden ir al doctor.
They cannot go to the doctor.
Cuando se enferman.
When they are sick.
Por medio de perder el trabajo.
Because they are afraid of losing their job.
O recibir.
Or receiving.
Represalias de los patrones.
Or receive reprisals from their employers.
Y me pregunto a cada uno de los empleados de la ciudad de Portland.
And I ask to the employees of the city of Portland.
¿Reciben pagos días de enfermedad?
Do they receive paid sick days?
Me pregunto si cuando uno de ustedes se enferma.
I wonder if one of you here gets sick. Okay. So,
reciben pagos.
You receive pay sick day. Okay. Aquí está. Cuando uno es sucio. Mi pregunta.
Me pregunto.
I wonder.
Si cuando sus hijos se enferman, ustedes los llevan al doctor.
I wonder when your sick get, your children get sick, you take them to the doctor.
Sin ningún temor.
Without being afraid.
¿Cuál es la diferencia entre ustedes y nosotros?
What is the difference between you and us?
El pago de días de enfermedades.
Pay sick days.
No es un lujo.
It's not a luxury.
Es un derecho humano.
It's a human right.
Y un derecho de cada trabajador en Portland.
And a right for every worker in Portland.
Debería de tener.
That every worker in Portland should have.
Mi esposo nunca podremos tener el salario de los beneficios que ustedes tienen.
My husband and I will never get the benefits or salaries that you receive.
Pero por lo menos.
But at least.
Como líderes de la ciudad.
You as leaders of the city.
Ustedes pueden hacer lo correcto.
You can do the right thing.
Y pasar una ordenanza.
And to pass an ordinance.
Que obligue a los patrones.
That will, ask the employers
pagar los días de enfermedad pay, para las familias trabajadoras
and to pay sick days for the working families
como nosotros
like
gracias.
Us thank you
gracias. Thank you thank you thank you very much. Anyone else want to take Commissioner Fritz up on our offer about testifying so you can get to the kids? Okay, come on down and we'll take her next, I think, because we'll go ahead and take some four people in opposition off the list, and then we'll take her next. Give her time to get downstairs.
The first four are Bill Perry, Lou Harrison, Joe Gilliam, and Andre Smith.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You have, yeah, if you have copies, just leave it there for Carla.
I go first, you want me to?
There's just some testimony first, here, that's all.
Okay. Mary Hales, Commissioners, for the record, Bill Perry with the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association. I want to start by saying I do think the employers need to be given some credit because this is a non-mandated benefit, and over 60% of the people are covered, which I think is probably a good thing for the local businesses. I don't think you'll find many other benefits that are covered at that rate. Second, I do want to say that I think there are a lot of employees that may not offer the paid benefit that have found a way to try to satisfy their employers. And one of the or employees, one of the things that's very prevalent in the restaurant industry is obviously shift trading or shift changes, because there's apps you can use on your smartphone that basically allows you to trade shifts, and a lot of the time the employers don't ask why you're trading, if sick, vacation, whatever you want, because you have to remember in the restaurant industry, a majority of your pay may not be coming from the employer, so if you take time off, you may get the wage under a paid sick leave proposal, but you don't get your tip income, your tip sharing, or anything else. So one of the reasons where I would say it's lower in the food service industry is because employees prefer to be able to trade shifts because they derive income from other sources. So, you know, that number may be higher in our industry, but I think there's a specific reason that the employees have other options that they would prefer. The other thing that I want to talk about is I do think, obviously, we talked about timing, but not for a statewide mandate purpose, but the other thing that's coming up is the Affordable Health Care Act is coming in January of 2014, which is when this is set to implement. You also have a minimum wage increase that's coming in January 2014 that's coming up. So there are a lot of expenses coming to employers right now when there is no growth in basically customer counts or income. And so they're juggling their employee or benefit packages, and one of the problems you have is what gets cut to make up, because until the economy picks up, any added expense creates a pretty large hardship on the employer's standpoint. So sometimes you just shift to no gain of the employee, and so it really is incumbent upon employers to try to figure out what works best for their employees. They're passing around my comments, and I'm obviously skimming through them, but there are a few things that I said in there to list out that I think this, I understand we're going to be going to a work group or a task force, whatever you want to call it, that are some main kind of concerns with the way this is drafted that we can address. And I don't know if my time just came up, but I just think that, you know, there are a lot of expenses that are coming up, particularly at this time, that are not when San Francisco got implemented, not when Seattle got implemented. January of 2014 is a big time for expenses to employers. And I do want to acknowledge that there are employers out there that have found other ways to try to make sure that they can help their employees besides just what would be called a paid sick leave proposal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead. This young lady has to get her
has
to get her daughter. Or,
yes.
I can wait. You go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Joe Gilliam, Northwest Grocery Association, representing grocers here. We have about 53 stores in the city of Portland. Employ over 5,000 Portlanders in this area. All my members actually offer paid sick leave, and about half those have first day benefits currently. We see your goal, and we're in the opposition category. There wasn't a neutral category to sign up on. We've looked at the ordinance. We couldn't have supported as is, but we do see avenues to make it better. It's something that we could support. We appreciate your goal, Commissioner Fritz. Our objective is to try to achieve your goal, but do it in a way that doesn't that mitigates the impact on other benefits and other working conditions for the employers, because there is an expense to this. We calculate that in when we offer it, and things are balanced. There are really eight topics that we're concerned about in the ordinance that we'd like to address, and we'll have the task force. Transit through the city of Portland, clarifying how that is calculated, that if someone doesn't stop in the city of Portland, that they're not included into the ordinance. You can imagine we have trucks going from Woodburn to Bellingham. You pass through Portland and Seattle, whose policy overrules. If we aren't stopping here, it's a big deal for our transit. Commencement of benefits, when the benefits start, I think staff alluded to the fact that was going to be addressed in the task force. Accommodation, the needs of perishables, something that probably wasn't brought up in the original discussions, was how perishables get to market. We can't have trucks of bread and fresh produce just sitting if someone comes in sick. So there are a lot of CBAs in effect that accommodate that today. They've been in effect for decades in order to accommodate how those get to market. You can't just leave them sitting. So all those CBAs basically have a three-day rule. And so I'd like to look at a waiver for those types of transit. We can get into the details of that, but it's very important because you have a lot of fresh food that sits. That is, then goes bad, won't be bought. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, I'll need some more information on that.
Thank absolutely, you. Absolutely. Remedy for abuse, it talks about how to investigate or to get into the abusive cases, but the ordinance kind of stops after that. How does that relate to the retaliation sections of the ordinance? So we need to tie those up and get those so they work together. The private right of action, we think, is too much. We don't need more litigation over benefits and spending money on lawyers. We would support the bully action in the process. Collective bargaining agreements, I think we need to discuss the hiring hall issue and how that works. We need to understand more about that. We'd like to see the ordinance recognize and reward employers who are doing the right thing today and not be caught up in a big active reporting requirements and record keeping and those types of things, folks who are doing the right thing already. And then I think the staff discussed the issue of how FMLA and OLA would work with this ordinance.
I'm really impressed that you got all age issues out on the table. Thank you, Mr. Gilliam. Anybody who has a lot of details, welcome to email me at amanda@portlandoregon.gov. Thank you for doing so earlier, too. That's very helpful.
You're welcome.
Ms. Fish.
Joe, I had a couple of questions. And I apologize. I needed a compassion break, so if I missed a little bit of your testimony. Is there a proposal out there that you think your industry could support statewide?
Commissioner Fish, I think that if the Portland, you know, if we could get to the level of support that the issues I just talked about for the Portland, I think that could be taken as a model forward for the state.
And there's an issue that I'm trying to understand a little better. And you may have already addressed it, and if you did, I'll read the record. Tell me so. But that has to do with a truck that might go through the jurisdiction.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Because I know that's an issue that in Seattle there is a record keeping. And one of the things that I think we're all interested in is a policy that's workable for all parties and that doesn't unduly create administrative burdens. And that, so has he already gone into
some
detail about
that? Yeah, he mentioned that on his list of items. So
you mentioned it on your list. Could you go a little deeper for my benefit just to describe the problem?
Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fish. In the Seattle ordinance, it's written that if you travel through the city without stopping, you're still keeping records and becoming eligible for the Seattle sick leave policy. So you may drive a truck through on I-5 through Seattle, never stop, and be subject to their policy. Good example, Oregon-based distribution center Winco is in Woodburn. And they're going to travel to drop a truckload in Bellingham. They're going to travel right through Portland, right through Seattle, and drop the truck and the trailer in Bellingham and never stop in either city.
So just so I'm clear, because we're going to be discussing later where we want some more staff work to understand these things, you're not talking about the situation of a trucker that actually stops and does a drop-off in the city in this example. You're talking about someone who may actually just physically come through the city but isn't doing business during that trip in the city, and that's the concern you're raising?
That's correct. That's exactly right. You could never stop in those two cities, and then the Woodburn company would be keeping – they have their own sick leave policy. It's in place today. They would then be keeping records at the Portland, and they'd be keeping records for Seattle, so you can see where the record keeping becomes.
And I guess I'm not entirely clear under the current language whether that's in or out. So that's one of the issues I've actually talked to Commissioner Fritz about, just having some greater clarity. So I appreciate you flagging.
Yeah. We're asking for clarification. I believe the intent is to not do that here in Portland. We just think we need to clean the language up to make sure we understand it.
Yeah, Commissioner Saltzman and I are very committed to working with the task force on particular detailed issues like this to make sure that if there's a way to clarify language, we would like to propose it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yikes. Okay, my name is Andrea Smith. I own the Daily Cafe in the Pearl. So to begin with, while I agree that paid sick leave is a social good and something that we should work towards to provide, what I'm not hearing in the arguments in favor of this is if small business in Portland can actually afford to do that. As a small business owner, owning a restaurant for 10 years and trying to get it to a level of profitability, I take issue with being put into a position of being required to provide a benefit when my business is not yet in a position to offer that benefit. So the question is the viability of business, and particularly Portland is made up of small business. When you look at the other cities that have this already in effect, so San Francisco, Seattle, and Connecticut, we are talking about cities that are much richer than us and are made up of businesses that are not of the same, there's a different component of businesses. Particularly, you look at San Francisco, you have a much higher percentage of high-paying jobs there. So the effect overall is different. And I'm not sure that City Council is really looking at our city and how this will have an effect on us. So thank you.
Can I ask you a question? Because
yes.
I'm a frequent customer.
Yes, I know.
And I love your restaurant. So if one of your employees is sick under your current policies, how do you address that?
Well, I had sent an email to Amanda. We've been in contact. And the way I see it, it's a management issue. So I have a policy that if you need time off, you work it out with a coworker and you swap shifts. By mandating paid sick leave, you're taking away the incentive of the employee to get coverage. So they're no longer responsible for the position that they have with.
And I seem to recall in Tom's presentation, there was a shift swap issue that was put on the table.
Yes, you could. Right. As I understand it, it's allowed. But what is the incentive then for the employee to do that if they know that they will get paid anyway for taking the time off?
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, please. Please. Folks, it is so unfair to make hisses and boos when people are testifying. Imagine when you are testifying something you care passionately and a critic is there doing that to you. And we have to behave in a more dignified way than that. And we have to be respectful of different points of view, or else we won't hear both sides of issues, and then we're all the poorer for that. So please, Portland, we're better than that.
Thanks, Commissioner. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're next.
Thank you very much. Hi, my name is Claudia Arana-Colin. I am the Health Equity Coordinator at Upstream Public Health, which is a nonprofit devoted to improving health.
We can't hear you. Sorry.
Oh, that's because you have to push the button. Sorry. No, that's not your fault. We have not been using that microphone.
Oh, okay.
And let you try it out. Hey, it's working now.
It's working great. Now. Thank you very much.
Please feel free to start again.
Okay. So, hi, my name is Claudia Arana-Colin. I am the Health Equity Coordinator at Upstream Public Health, a nonprofit devoted to improving the health of all Oregonians. I'm also a mom of a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old. The opportunity to be able to take a day off for sickness when I need to is critical to my ability to manage my work life as a mom of 2 young kids. When my kids are sick, the daycare will not accept them, so it's essential that I be able to stay home and care for them. In fact, just last week, my little 3-month-old went to the ER and was hospitalized for a night. She's fine now, but I'm a mom, and I had no choice but to be with her. I'm lucky that I have an employer that is supportive when I need to stay home. Many working moms in the city are not so lucky, as we heard earlier. I'm shocked that 16% of workers have been fired because they took time off for sickness or to care for a family member. No one should have to be faced with that. All we're asking for is a fair policy that allows working moms and other hard workers that make our economy run to be able to have time off when it's necessary. To be a progressive and just city, it's time Portland joined the ranks of other cities in passing a fair earned sick days policy for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks very much. So let's call the next 4 in support.
Are Patricia Ford, Susan King, Tom Chamberlain, and Mary King. And they will be followed by Jan Walker, John Plew, Tony De La Pont, and I believe it's Bernie Bethany, or Bernie Bottomley.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and members of the City Commission. My name is Susan King. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Nurses Association. In addition to my role as an employer of 45 staff, I also practice as a registered nurse in a large Portland area emergency department, so I am very familiar with people needing to be away from their jobs when they are ill or when their families are ill. I'm speaking today in support of this proposal. You've heard a great deal of proponent testimony already, so you have my written comments. I would like to highlight just a couple of issues that have already been mentioned. First of all is the public health impact of workers who are ill being at work, exposing both their coworkers and the public that they serve. That can't be emphasized enough. While we have, during this flu season, seen a media focus on flu vaccine as an intervention against disease, in fact, all of the evidence shows that the best way to prevent the transmission of disease is not to be around sick people. So that, I think, bears witness to the wisdom of this proposal. The second issue I'd like to talk about that hasn't been mentioned is really productivity. As an employer, I'm certainly well aware of the impact of an employee who is at work ill and perhaps less productive at work ill than they would have been had they been well. So staying home to get over an illness oftentimes will shorten an illness, and return them to the position for which they are hired. Instead of trying to work when they're ill, extending the illness, exposing coworkers and people who come into the business. So I do think productivity and the impact of illness on productivity needs to be considered to a greater extent than it is currently. I'll defer to my written comments. Again, I appreciate your consideration of this important issue. My company does offer sick time, 12 days per year, to our employees. And we feel that it is our responsibility both to the public and to our employees. So I appreciate the opportunity to make comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Tom Chamberlain. I'm president of the Oregon AFL-CIO. I'm here to speak in support of the ordinance. Portland prides itself on being a sustainable and livable city. Sustainability and livability is more than just the streets and the parks and the lights. It's quality of life for our citizens. We live in an era where people are working harder for less. We have minimum wage to try to set a minimum that people who work can earn, though we know it's not a family wage. It is a standard. I believe strongly that establishing a floor on sick leave is the right thing to do. I commend you on getting as much input as you have in this. I look forward to whatever comes out of the work group. I hope the work group does not water down the ordinance, but continue with this thought that this is going to be simple, easily to administer, and I hope they work in that vein and not water the ordinance down.
Mayor Hills, members of the City Council, thank you for the opportunity to share my views with you today. My name is Patria Ford, and I've been in administrative personnel for about 17 years. I've had the privilege of working for three businesses in the Portland and Vancouver areas as an administrative staff member. Of the three, two of those companies offered paid sick leave. Only one did not. I had heard awful stories from people who worked for companies that didn't pay for sick time off and how it created a burden on their financial life, coupled by unnecessary stress. It wasn't until I worked for the third company that I learned just how devastating it would be, or just how devastating it was when you have to make the often dreadful decision to take a sick day, knowing that you won't be compensated for that time, even though you've devoted yourself to the company you work for. What was worse, it created an undue hardship on my family, not being able to meet my monthly financial obligations. Having to choose between bills to pay, which bills to take late fees on, or how much less I'd have to provide for my household essentials until the next pay period. Not only does this situation create a financial hardship, but it also shows a lack of value for employees. In some cases, it reduces employee morale because it leaves the open-ended question, does the company I work for really care about its employees? One thing I focus on when looking for a new job is whether or not the company provides sick leave. As a single parent and as a human being, I know that there will be a time when I need to take a sick day. And because I know firsthand how devastating it can be financially if you are not paid, I often look for companies that value their workforce. For me, one of the ways of determining that is if they offer sick leave. Despite any rebuttal, the bottom line is if an employer can afford to pay an individual for time on the job, they can afford to pay an employee that they value for time needed to recover from an illness or a sickness. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Hale.
Oh, push the button on the microphone there in front of you. Thank you.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yes, that's it. Very good. Thank you. Mayor Hales, commissioners, wow. Thank you for this opportunity to address you and possibly all of Portland. I'm Mary King. I'm a labor economist in the econ department at Portland State University. I've submitted a more detailed letter to you, and so I'll just hit the highlights here. That letter was signed by myself and 13 other PhD economists who are at academic institutions nearby, including the University of Washington, Reed, University of Oregon, Lewis and Clark, PCC, and of course, PSU. Based on a review of the evidence of the consequences of policies of requiring paid sick days in other U.S. cities and the state of Connecticut, there's a strong economic case out there for requiring paid sick days. And it's critically important, I'm really pleased to see that you're taking this level of testimony, that our policy be informed by evidence. Of course, business and trade associations are concerned about potential policy impacts on business, as they should be, but they have historically significantly overestimated the costs of policies like this on business bottom lines. Just to take one prime example, I would give you the National Family Medical Leave Act, which, as you know, requires 12 weeks of unpaid leave for the birth of a child or other family circumstances. It was widely predicted by chambers of commerce to be hugely costly, but in practice has been taken rather easily in stride. One reason that businesses tend to overestimate in advance what something like a policy like this might cost is that in this case, they tend to assume that people will take all days they have available to them. And the record shows that is not what happens. Evidence from the state of Connecticut, the city of San Francisco, show that people are taking about half the days they have available. And for Connecticut, that has meant a cost of about 0.2% of sales revenue. So something rather smaller by a significant magnitude than what was anticipated. In San Francisco, which, as you know, has required at least 5 days of paid sick leave for all workers since January 2007, people take an average of three. Six of seven employers have stated that there's been no negative impact. San Francisco grew faster than surrounding cities in the intervening years, and the Golden Gate Restaurant Association has called the city's sick leave policy the best public policy for the least cost. Employer costs tend to be outweighed by reduction in other business costs, including productivity, as you've heard here before. One big aspect of that comes from a reduction in turnover. People do lose jobs over not having paid sick days, which results, of course, in costs in advertising, recruitment, training, and lower productivity of new replacements. Sick days reduce the cost of what is called presenteeism in human resources. The Society of Human Resource Management puts that cost at about $180 billion a year. What they mean by presenteeism is the cost of people coming to work sick. If people stay at home when they're ill, they recover more quickly, they expose fewer other employees, and they have fewer injuries on the job. Paid sick days also reduces health care costs. People recover more quickly, and they get less sick. They expose fewer others. They get timely, less expensive medical care for themselves and their dependents. Visits to the ER are reduced. Fewer customers, of course, are exposed to illnesses, as you've heard, and parents can stay home with sick children, exposing fewer other kids and teachers. People with paid sick time are more likely to obtain their own preventative care. This is something which I don't know if we heard, but people get their cancer screening trace, that kind of thing, if they can make an appointment and go get it. So we get early on preventative care rather than more expensive, more serious care later. There are substantial community benefits to be had, economic benefits, from paid sick leave, in that people losing their jobs increases the unemployment rate, increases job turnover, and increases poverty. So this is the kind of thing, then, an economic cost out on the community we need to think seriously about. Of course, it's very costly for individual workers, as we have heard. The average person who lacks paid sick day at the moment earns $10 an hour. For that person who has two children, they can be put under the poverty line if they lose 3 days of work without pay. So it's clearly a significant cost for people at that level.
I'll just ask you to wrap up because you're there on time.
Thank you. I'm sorry. The world has changed since our labor laws and our employment policies have been conceived. Now two-thirds of mothers are working. Most children are in families with two working parents. Parents and families need the security and support of access to paid sick days. And for these reasons, I and my fellow economists would urge you to support a robust paid sick days requirement in Portland that reaches every worker in the city. Thank you.
Dr. King, I have just one question, if I could.
Certainly.
And I'm going to go back and look for your letter. Does the letter that you've submitted have links to the studies you've talked about, or have the data in the letter about?
Certainly. You have the footnotes there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I, having been an employer once myself, this question of retention and reduction in turnover is, I think, something very important. Because, as you noted, it is a high-cost issue, and a stable workforce has a significant value. And I'd like to see the data that you've cited. So, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you all. Thanks very much. Next four in opposition, please.
Was there a Dan Yates or a Lou Harrison I might have missed?
Oh, Mr. Yates went home. Please call the next one.
I skipped over you. Sorry, Mr. Yates. Okay.
Dan.
Is there Lou Harrison? Okay, then let's go ahead with Jan Walker and John Plew. And Tony De Del Ponte, I believe it is. Oh, okay, we'll go ahead and go with Bernie. And then they'll be followed by Jim Hauser, Mike Roach, Scott Keats, and Dr. Joseph Santos-Lyon.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'll go first because mine's on already. Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Dan Yates. I'm the president of the Portland Spirit Dinner Boats, which is a locally family-owned, employee-owned business. I'm going to focus more on the process than on the actual merits of this proposed ordinance. I want to address that I'm very disappointed with the process related to this ordinance. This is a very ambitious ordinance that has significant impacts on business employees and our general business climate in our city. I find it very disheartening that such a large sweeping ordinance has not been subject to an extensive review and discussion by all interested parties. This ordinance injects the city of Portland into the very heart of the employee-employer relationship while creating large financial and managerial impacts. The raw economic numbers are not hard to compute, but lack of clear rules in the ordinance fails to address conflicts in relationship to current employment laws and marine employment laws, which I'd like to remind the council that this is we have a major marine community that is not subject to workers' compensation laws, that are subject to Marine Jones Act and other federal law laws that actually put us in conflict with state employment laws. And this ordinance should do a comprehensive look to see how we can eliminate conflicts with federal marine employment laws. It is naive to think that a 3.3% cost in labor can be absorbed by employers without ramifications. The lack of a credible process has failed to identify what trade-offs employers will make to pay for this expensive program. Again, it's naive to believe that you can impose this on companies that are not doing well. Portland Spirit is down 25% in revenue since 2008. We currently offer health care, but that is in jeopardy just because our local economy is doing so poorly. I can assure you that the realities of the economics mean that the employers will get this new benefit, the employees will get this new benefit at the expense of an existing one. We are no different than the city of Portland, which just in Willamette Week, Mayor mentioned that there is no magic bucket of cash available to pay for projects. Our companies are struggling, and we have no magic bucket to pay for it. We will just trade money around to take care of this ordinance. And I do not see any net real benefit to the employee. If this ordinance is a good idea that's worthy of the hardship it will place on employers, it needs a proper process that involves all interested parties. This is more than a general public health issue, but rather it goes to what type of community we want to live in. I had hoped that the new members on this council would eliminate backroom deals and would provide a more transparent process in the city. I have hoped that the city council would focus on reversing our 15-year decline in our city's economic vitality. Portland, as Oregon's largest city, should be the economic engine leading the state's prosperity. Over the last 15 years, Oregon has fallen from 25th in national median income to 34th. Portland has been leading just in the wrong direction. There is a great deal of opportunity to make this a better ordinance. I hope this council allows a comprehensive discussion to be had over the next few months so a credible ordinance can be crafted. I am volunteering to assist in a fair, open process that allows Portland to look at the lessons learned from the other communities that have it, so we can create a Portland version that works for everyone.
Thank you. Dan, can I just follow up and ask you one question? So we're going to get different input on the question of whether Portland should move forward with an ordinance or whether we should defer to the state doing something or some combination. If the state of Oregon took this up in a way that you felt was transparent, do you think it is a better outcome to have a statewide standard, or is there a citywide standard with what you've described as proper process that you could support?
Well, I would prefer a statewide, because I actually have about 50 employees in Cascade Locks, which are not subject to this, and you are forcing me to choose on protecting the Portland employees better than the Cascade Locks employees, or treating them both the same and reducing one benefit to pay for this benefit. And quite frankly, I'm going to ask my Cascade Locks employees what do they want to give up to get this, or do they want to stay where they are? But you're creating a two-tiered system for a lot of companies that do business outside of Portland.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. Good afternoon. My name is John Plue. I'm a partner and president of Concept Entertainment Group, a local restaurant and hospitality company here in Portland. We employ around 300 employees and have operated in Portland for 30 years. We also are private investors in real estate, and we love Portland, particularly the urban core. We're greatly concerned, as well as Dan next to me here, that the process needs to be really weighed out in an equitable way, not as just a blanket system, depending on your industries. We do have sick benefits for certain personnel, and for other personnel, we have the voluntary shift trading. Our industry is a little different than manufacturing that might be open 5 days a week, or a law firm or something like that. And I don't know that it's fair to put the policy in place for one industry that is a blanket for all industries. And we really do believe in the sustainability of our employees, and we think it's important, and the responsibility from health care, as well as a lot of the transferring of food handling and making sure that our guests are healthy, happy customers. There's a large financial impact that I don't know that anybody's really spoke to, so I can only speak to my own. So I did a little math with 300 employees, and these are employees that, again, I'm just going to use the bare bottom of the minimum wage, even though I have employees make from minimum wage up to $20 an hour. So at 300 employee company here in Portland, we estimate that to be about 321 hours divided by 30 hours. The impact for our company is about $95,000 before we replace the employee who's not at the job. When we do not have a waiter on, we have to put somebody else on. So now, instead of paying a waiter $8.95 an hour, we're paying them double that, because we had to pay the person that's not there and the person that is there, as well as the administrative duties to do all the work to mandate and track it. So in our company, just the employees that are gone, the impact to us would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $95,000. So you would double it, because you have to replace. You can't add more work to the people that are there. We bring in other people to take their space. In our process, to your point, Mr. Fish, when we're doing site selections for other restaurants, which we have one now in Washington County and we have one in Arizona, it's something we definitely think of in where we're going. And if we're in Portland and the prices keep going up and it gets tougher and tougher to do business, we certainly are encouraged to look outside of the Portland market, even though we have a love and a passion to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bottomley with the Portland Business Alliance. The Alliance represents more than 1,200 members who provide more than 325,000 jobs in the region. 80% of our members are small businesses. In the interest of time, I want to just relay three of the very many concerns that we've heard from small businesses about this proposal.
First, the lack of meaningful public involvement in the process of developing it. Second, the lack of equitable treatment of employers by the city. And third, the decision to move forward on a city-only basis. First, the Alliance is very disappointed with the lack of public involvement in developing this proposal. The City of Portland is known, justifiably, for its transparent and inclusive public process. We just spent over 4 years on a process for West Haden Island with hundreds of meetings and thousands of stakeholders. In contrast, this process largely excluded impacted stakeholders such as the Alliance and its small employers, and put on the council agenda this ordinance before there was a meaningful opportunity for public review of the details in it. We appreciate the mayor stepping in and creating a task force to look at the impacts. We do not think that 1 month is sufficient time to thoroughly address the concerns in the proposal, particularly for small businesses who are trying to make payroll and keep the doors open and don't have the time or resources to analyze the impacts of this proposal on such short notice. Second, adding this new burden to small firms when the city has not fulfilled its commitment to help those firms by reforming the business license tax adds insult to injury. 6 years ago, this council adopted a policy that promised a change in the business income tax, and it hasn't happened yet. So if the city feels like addressing this issue is so critical, why doesn't the city have some skin in the game itself instead of transferring the cost of implementing this policy to small businesses around the city?
Bernie, by the way, you're talking about increasing the business owner's compensation deduction?
Exactly.
So when you say we haven't done it, you're saying we haven't gotten to the level, but we have, in fact, incrementally increased that.
You have indeed. But we haven't. 6 years ago, we said we'd get to $125,000, and we haven't gotten there. Third, the Alliance believes that at a minimum, the city should wait to enact this requirement until after the Oregon legislature has had an opportunity to consider the proposal. Enacting a city-only ordinance creates bureaucratic and record-keeping costs that burden firms inside the city, create even more burdens on firms with locations inside and outside the city, and would give an economic advantage to employers outside of the city who do not have to incur these costs. Since the proposed effective date is 2014, waiting to see if the Oregon legislature acts will have no appreciable impact on the implementation date and will give the community a fair opportunity to have input on the proposal. Thank you for your consideration of these comments. We look forward to working with you to ensure that small employers can continue to operate in Portland and provide incomes to families and citizens of the city. Your policy decisions are directly related to our economic success or failure and whether Portland can retain and grow quality jobs. Thank you.
My name is Jan Walker, and I am a small business owner. And my business, we provide accounting services specifically to the restaurant industry. And I'm here today because many of my clients, just in conversations I have with them, they have expressed certain concerns, and that's why I came today. As a small business owner myself, I do see my employees as very valued to my business, and one of my roles as a small business owner is to draft policies and to work with my employees to create policies that really work for us. And I see my clients doing the same things in their restaurants. I see them doing that. There's a feeling that this should stay with the company, that companies can create policies that work for them. I see that they have, as we've heard today, these trade shift trades. They provide flexible work schedules. They provide paid sick time. They have follow-up and a lot of training on workplace kind of health issues and practices in the workplace. And these are the kinds of things that small business owners can create that really work for them. Clients have shared with me that this is very rushed, that they feel like as small business owners that maybe they're not being heard. I sat down with a client this week, and he was talking about his budget, and this subject came up, and he mentioned that he was feeling like he was going to have to actually reduce his restaurant staff, and he has a very small restaurant, but reducing one or two people then begins to add burden to the other staff. And sometimes as a small business owner, you're looking at every dollar that leaves and every dollar that comes in the door. And when you're really trying to find places to move money around, sometimes you resort to something that is fairly extreme. So I'm hoping that this process can slow down. I'm hoping that it can get equitable. I'm hoping that small business owners can have an opportunity to get educated and learn how to create policies that stay on the level of the company, and that we hope that it becomes an equitable policy for everyone, and perhaps on the state level might be the way to go. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? Thanks very much. Carla, next four, please.
Are Jim Hauser, Mike Roach, Scott Teets, and Emily S. Ryan. And they'll be followed by Lisa Watson, Debbie Kitchen, David H. Louie, and Jane Leo.
And a process question, how far down the list are we? How many people roughly do we have remaining to testify? You can tell us that in a few minutes if you want. Take a while to calculate. Please go ahead, Mr. Roach. I think you were first.
Mayor and honorable commissioners, my name is Mike Roach, and I wish to thank Commissioner Fritz and her staff for targeting this issue, challenging as it is at this time, and for putting in the time to try to make sense of it all. As co-owner of Paloma Clothing for 38 years, I support the ordinance as a crucial first step at improving public health in Portland's businesses, workplaces, and schools. I do so with the following suggestions. One, consider exempting all businesses for their first year of being in business. 38 years ago, it was tough. Number two, consider also exempting those new businesses from any business license fees above the minimum fee in a companion piece of legislation. Three, please listen carefully to the recommendations of the task force and be prepared to exempt or delay implementation for classes of businesses for whom this would appear to be impossibly onerous. I realize such an exemption or delay is a very slippery slope, but please be open to the potential need for it. I'd like to thank and compliment Commissioner Fritz on her selection of Commissioner Saltzman as her co-chair, or possibly Mayor Hales made that decision. At any rate, Commissioner Saltzman has a skill set and experience that I think could well find opportunities to see sweet spots in small changes to the ordinance that would result in easier compliance. We have had paid time personal day policy at Paloma Clothing for 8 years. That's in addition to paid vacation, and the personal time consists of 2 days. In those 8 years, we've seen a notable decrease in what I call the tsunami cold syndrome, where two or three staff are sick at the same time and everyone eventually gets the same darn cold. Employees have gradually over time learned how to best utilize this paid time for both their benefit and the benefit of the business. And I'll close simply by saying that any businesses, large or small, that are smart enough, agile enough, and lucky enough to still be in business 5 years after the beginning of the Great Recession should be able to learn to live with earned sick pay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. Just to clarify, it was Commissioner Saltzman's idea to do the task force. I agreed, and then the mayor graciously gave it his blessing. So
thank you to Commissioner Saltzman, and I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for staying home sick on his sick day and taking his sick day to not expose us to all his germs. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Mayor Hales, Portland City Commissioners, my name is Jim Hauser. And my wife and I own and operate Hawthorne Auto Clinic in Southeast Portland. I'm also co-chair of the Main Street Alliance of Oregon, who you heard from Lee earlier. So let me tell you about small businesses' stake in this earned sick time campaign. Hawthorne Auto Clinic is celebrating its 30th anniversary this month, so I think I've learned a few things about small business success. Our principal business asset next to our customers is our employees. I believe, and experience has borne me out, that if you take care of your employees, they will take care of you. We provide good benefits, including earned sick days, now called personal days, and have for all of our 30 years, not counting our three student interns who have recently been promoted to full-time. The average tenure of our other 8 full-time employees is over 20 years. That kind of employee loyalty is critical to the success of any small business. Most small business people understand this basic business reality. The biggest hurdle most small business owners face in being able to provide decent wages and benefits is competition with the national chains like the Walmarts and McDonald's, who are notorious for driving down the cost of labor by suppressing wages and benefits. As much as they would like to, small business owners are often trapped by the power of the multinationals. So because I realize there is some anxiety among business owners who fear employees will abuse their sick time, I inventoried our employees' personal day usage over the past year. One half of our staff, five people, and we have kind of a mix of older and younger, used all 5 days last year. There was a surgery, there was a new baby, there was sickness in the family. The other five used 0 to 1 days, for an average of 2.7 personal days overall for the whole year. The total cost amounted to less than 1% of payroll. It was between 0.8 and 0.9%. Reasonable employment standards, such as Commissioner Frist has proposed, level the business playing field by requiring all employers to play by the same rules, enabling small business owners to do what they know needs to be done, like providing earned sick time for employees and thus for their enterprises to thrive. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Hales and the members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to express my support for their earned sick days. My name is Scott Tates. I work at an area hospital as an acute care float nurse, and I serve as a member of ONA's Cabinet on Health Policy. And I strongly support paid sick days policy in Portland. Allowing workers to support sick days to earn sick days on the job is vital to public health and Oregon's efforts to transform our healthcare system. As a nurse, I understand the importance of Oregon's health system transformation efforts and just how much is at risk if we are not successful in crafting a system that provides quality care for more patients. As we develop a structure that focuses on primary and preventative care, we'll begin to see cost savings, making care more affordable for all. If workers do not have the time to access the primary and preventative care they need to stay healthy, their treatable illnesses will likely worsen, becoming increasingly expensive and posing long-term health risks. Portland needs to implement policies like earned sick days to support national and statewide health care reform efforts, promote good public health, and maintain a strong community. Healthy communities are created through the implementation of health-conscious policies such as earned sick days. Citywide earned sick day policy will not, on its own, stop the spread of illness within Portland, but it will cut down on the spread of communicable diseases by reducing exposure and prevent working families from making tough choices between their health and financial security. Thank you. Thanks. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hale, City Commissioners. First of all, thank you for holding this public hearing and taking public testimony today. My name is Emily S. Ryan. I'm here today as the board co-chair for the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, or APANO. In coalition with Family Forward Oregon, APANO supports the ordinance introduced by Commissioner Amanda Fritz and her staff. Growing at an exponential rate, Asian and Pacific Islanders are actually the second fastest growing population in the state of Oregon. And taking residents in major metropolitan cities like the city of Portland. We hold jobs primarily in the service industry, and these constantly have contact with the public. In Portland, 40% of all private sector and 80% of low-income employees have no earned sick leave. We know from the report by the Coalition of Communities of Color in Multnomah County, an unsettling profile, that communities of color disproportionately experience poverty. On a statewide level, 40% of Pacific Islanders are living in poverty. We also know that families living on a low income tend to hold more than one job to help meet living needs. The lack of ability to take time off work to become healthy again poses a public health issue that can easily be remedied through this ordinance. Working sick can expose and spread sickness to others. Parents with a child unable to take earned sick days is at risk of losing their income or even their job, leading to economic impact for their family and for our city. APANO values the well-being of our families and supports the practical benefits to employers that this ordinance allows. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. So, Carla, what did you determine in terms of the remainder of the list?
We have about 45 more.
Okay.
Therefore, I think for the council's sake and maybe for everyone, we're going to declare a 5-minute stretch break and resume in 5 minutes.
Charlie?
Yes.
I think so.